Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This is a Joy 94.9 podcast presented by Paul Anthony with the assistance of the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers, Victoria Police, Crime Stoppers and Joy 94.9 working together to make our community safe.
Discover your community. joy.org.au.
Ever wanted to leap tall buildings, uphold the law, solve a crime, but just don't have the time?
Go!
Tune in to Joy 94.9 Wednesdays at 11 a.m. when Victoria Police Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers
Gabby and Scott
ask for your help in solving crime.
Victoria Police GLOWS, Crime Stoppers, the Anti-Violence Project and Joy 94.9 working together to help make our community safe.
Paul Anthony with you on the Victoria Police GLOWS show. In the studio with me, Scott Davis, Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer.
Thank you, Paul Anthony. It's wonderful to be here.
What does this show do each week?
We talk.
We do.
We do lots of things. And the idea of this show is that it's the Victoria Police Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer show, and it's done in conjunction with the Anti-Violence Project and Crime Stoppers. And so we do a whole variety of different things around violence and protection of the community.
And what are we talking about today?
We'll have a little bit of a segment on what's going on in Victoria Police at the moment. We've also got Sergeant Di Ashwell, who's working with the Salvation Army regarding the impact of family violence on businesses.
We've had her on before, haven't we?
She has been on before, but she's got a special program that's being run for businesses at the moment about family violence.
0427JOY949 or on air at joy.org.au if you'd like to say hello. Because Scotty likes that, don't you, Scotty?
I feel important when people do that.
Yes. Vic Police News up next.
Thank you, Paul Anthony.
That's all right, Scott Davis.
You might have noticed that the weather has turned a little bit here in Melbourne.
Some people I know.
You would have also noticed that late yesterday we had this big storm come through and the sky suddenly went black and things like that.
Yes.
You saw that?
I was in the middle of it.
Were you?
Yes, driving from Kooyarrup, I was, out of the swamp into the storm.
Yes. So, as a result of that, Victoria Police is just advising all of those people who ride bikes around Melbourne, and Melbourne is a pretty good place to be able to ride bikes, and especially we get a lot of bike riders coming into the CBD, and we're just warning people to make sure that you are well and truly equipped to be out there riding. So from our vicpolicenews.com.au website, you would have noticed that this week's run of cooler weather and darker days has prompted the police to call on cyclists to modify their bikes and behaviour so that they stay safe on the roads this winter. How can people do that? By choosing appropriate reflective clothing, wearing a helmet, and ensuring bikes are serviced and working properly. And the most important thing that we're talking about here is attaching a warning device. Do you know what we mean by a warning device?
Something that flashes or something like a bell.
Yeah, so lights are really important, but a bell is extremely important. So hazardous weather can come at any time, which we saw yesterday with that storm that went across Melbourne, and cyclists need to make themselves so that they can be seen by other road users, but also heard. People don't realise that a bell is an important part of a roadworthy of a bicycle. You must have an audible warning device, and that audible warning device cannot be your voice. Why do you think that is?
Because it probably sounds normal.
That's one of the things, yep. It's also, some people become frightened and aren't able to yell,
oh, okay.
So their voice freezes, or...
Like when they see a snake.
It's that you can't get anything out, and sometimes, you know, things like bugs and stuff can fly into your mouth and prevent you from yelling, so you must have a bell. And there's actually an on-the-spot fine. If you don't have a bell, you can get a $148 fine for not having a bell on your bike.
Now, just in case we'll get a fine, I fitted one to this studio.
Excellent.
So out of my way.
Yes.
It's kind of like out of my way, isn't it?
Well done. So more than 300 cyclists are injured on our roads each year, and this year 4 cyclists have been killed, which is quite a high statistic for this year already. So ensuring a bell or other warning devices attached to the bike is a must to warn pedestrians in heavy traffic. And once again, your voice is not considered to be a warning device.
What's wrong with my voice?
Put the bell back on.
Is that very nice?
So we know that riding a bike is a real passion for many people, and remembering to do just a few minor things before you get into the saddle can mean a difference between your safety and somebody else's safety. So yes, Victoria Police is encouraging you to ride your bike safely. have high visibility vests, bells, lights, and get your bike serviced.
Is that it?
That's it.
That's it.
That's all we want people to do.
That's good.
Are you under 18?
GLBTIQA. Or just curious?
Minus 18 is a social and support group for young people under 18.
Minus 18 provides a safe, fun and drug and alcohol free environment for young people.
Visit minus18.org.au for details about upcoming events, dance parties and more.
Minus18.org.au.
Now, Scotty, our guest this week is quite a nice person. We've had her before. She's been with the Victoria Police for 15 years, and in her current role as the Family Violence Advisor, she's been there for 2 years. Please welcome to Joy 94.9, Sergeant Di Ashwell.
Thank you, Scott and Paul, and thank you for having me back again.
That's all right. Scotty asked me, I said, yeah, she's all right, she can come back.
Yeah, remember that person you said, don't ever let them back in again.
Di, welcome again. Can you give us a bit of just a background of what you do with family violence?
Yes, as you said, I'm a family violence advisor, and my role is to be the link between the external agencies that deal with family violence and the police. And I also work closely with the family violence liaison officers.
What sort of external agencies are we talking about? What does that mean?
Okay, they're ones who work in family violence. So we can have people like Berry Street or agencies like Berry Street, SACASA.
SACASA
is...
I know, but there'll be people out there going, SACASA, what's SACASA?
Southeast Centre Against Sexual Assault.
Oh, that's where they get SACASA from.
That's right, it's the
okay, cool.
The initials.
There are also CASAs, which are just Centres Against Sexual Assaults in all other areas across Melbourne.
Isn't it a shame we have to have these centres?
That's right.
It's great that we've got them, but isn't it a shame?
It is good. They do a lot of good work, so that's a good thing about it.
You liaise with those agencies. What is it you're actually doing with those agencies?
We actually try to come up with projects and programs to help reduce and prevent family violence. We've got a couple of those on the go now. We also set up things like referral agencies, which we've set up. There's actually a referral agency for the same-sex community where we can actually refer for them specifically. We also have some for the Indigenous communities and everybody out there who's involved in family violence or has anything to do with family violence. We actually have somewhere to send them to so they can get some help.
That's what it's about. It's about referring somebody off so that the police are there for when the relationship breaks down, that immediate
That's
crisis.
Right. Yep, the initial.
And
yep.
Then the agencies are there to do all of the work in the background after the police have left.
That's exactly right, and they do a fantastic job, and there's lots of things they can help out with.
You also mentioned that you liaise with family violence liaison officers. What are they?
There are sergeants at all 24-hour stations, and they're the link between the police members at the stations and me. And then I assist them with getting out to the external agencies so they know what's out there and what programs are out there and where they can refer to.
So what are they doing in a station? What sort of
police station? They work with the victims. They make sure that the members have done all the right things, that they've taken out intervention orders if need be, they've made the referrals, that all the reports are done. So they're really there to oversee the family violence at the local level.
So it's a bit of a quality control job, is it, for them?
Yeah, we'll say that. Yeah, that sounds about right.
So if a person is a victim of relationship violence and they're not sure that the police have done the right thing, could they contact that sergeant?
They certainly can. They can contact the family violence liaison officer, or they could contact even me, the family violence advisor.
If it's a 24-hour station, they can ring that local station and they won't know the name of the person, but they can ask to speak to the family violence liaison.
Yes. Now, you've just got to remember it is a 24-hour station and the family violence liaison officers won't be there all the time, but they would certainly get back to them.
Di, what sort of code of practice do you have for investigating family violence?
Okay, we've actually got the Family Violence Code of Practice, which came out in 2004, and because of the changes in the family violence legislation, it's actually being rewritten now, and that helps members to tell them what they have to do in instances of family violence. So it's some procedures to follow.
It's quite a lengthy document, and it includes the diverse community as well, and I know that there's a segment in there on same-sex relationships and also family violence for transgender people.
That's exactly right. It covers all people that we can come across in our society. And look, there are different areas where people need help, and that's what it's all about. And it's making sure that the members do the right thing.
Is this new, the one for same-sex relationships?
No, that's always been in the code of practice. But the referral pathways that we've set up in our area has only been around for about the last 18 months.
Okay.
And is that working out?
It is. It's working really well. And that came about as a result of a forum we held on same-sex relationships. And we actually had about 35 or so agencies represented at that forum and quite a few police officers. And as I said, as a result of that, we actually set up some referral pathways, which was really great.
You're able to mention where those referral pathways are through?
Yes, for most of the areas around Melbourne and Yarra and Port Phillip, we refer them to the Drummond Street Relationship Centre. And down the south ends, which is, say, Stonington, Kingston, Bayside and Glen Ira, we refer them to the Salvation Army. And that can be both males and females.
Scotty, you're pointing at me because?
Because we're wrapping up this bit of the segment.
I thought there was something I forgot. If you'd like to say hello, Scotty's a little bit disappointed that no one's messaged in yet. So
no one said hello.
But in particular, we do have Sergeant Di Ashwell here. So please, if there's something you'd like to ask about family violence or violence within same-sex relationships, please let us know. Who's winning in the Facebook challenge with you and Gabby?
Don't know.
Get across to Facebook, add Scott Davis and Gabby Tyack. And they're having a Facebook war at the moment.
Yeah, I think Gabby's having a war than
yeah.
I am.
Yeah. Okay, but she doesn't comment on anything. You're the one that does all the commenting. What's with that?
Well, she's on leave. It's a bit hard to comment when you're on leave.
All right, massive accident on the Western Ring Road near Sydney Road exit. If you've got any information about that, please let us know. 0427-JOY-949.
Provided that it's safe to do so.
And you're such a copper, Scotty. Our special guest, we have Sergeant Di Ashwell. She's a family violence advisor. Scotty.
Di, you're running some free seminars with the Salvation Army on the impacts of family violence in the workplace.
I am, but before I get onto that, can I say that Gabby is winning the Facebook also challenge? Yeah, I think that's why Scott's not saying anything.
Oh, okay.
While we bring it up, last time I looked, I was about three in front, but it might well have changed.
Three in front is still a win. I think she was three in front.
Okay.
Oh, geez, sticking up for Gab.
Now.
And Joe did it last week. I feel victimised here.
We would never do that.
I think Gabby's paying people to just have a go at me.
Now, my seminar.
Wait till she gets back next week. Sorry, Di.
We'll talk about my seminar now. It's the Enough at Home, Enough at Work, and it's on the back of the Enough campaign that the government ran in relation to family violence. And what this is targeting family violence and how it affects the workplace.
Obviously, family violence happens in the home. It can happen anywhere, but in most instances, it happens in the home. How does it impact on where people are working?
Okay, well, it can do it in various ways. It can mean that if people have to take their work home, say victims of family violence, they may not be allowed to do the work at home because of what's occurring at home.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the perpetrators actually make lots and lots of phone calls to the victim while they're at work and they're trying to get their work done where they can't. The perpetrator can follow the victim to work and then wait for them outside and then make sure they come home again and don't speak to anybody in between those days. They can also spread rumours about what's occurring at work. They can also assault the victim, so the victim has to take time off work.
So there's some fairly significant impacts for the business, really.
I mean,
apart from the fact that obviously the victim is going to be suffering quite severely from this and we don't want to take away from that, but the idea of these seminars is that businesses are actually in a position to be able to help people who are victims of family violence.
That's exactly right, because victims have to look at the costs of family violence on the workplace. It's nearly $500 million per year for organisations in Victoria. Then the impact it has, whereas it could be high absenteeism, staff turnover, low productivity, there's a range of things that can affect the workplace.
What sort of things can businesses do to help out here?
Our big thing is to try and show businesses that what the impact is on the workplace and then to put some tools in place so they can create a positive workplace and they can help out the victims. And certain things like making sure that if there's intervention orders in place that they ensure that the perpetrator or the respondent can't come to the work and they don't take phone calls and they may have to walk the victim to their car overnight to make sure that he or she is safe.
We're talking about seminars run for businesses, and I'll ask a bit more about that in a moment, but the seminars are not talking about the fact that family violence is taking place in the workplace. It's not about bullying in the workplace.
That's exactly
right. It's about the impact of family violence on people who work for organisations.
That's exactly right, and that's why we really want to make that clear. We want those victims to be able to get assistance. It's not about what's happening at the workplace, it's how it can impact on the workplace.
Can the workplaces run their own seminars?
I don't know if they do, but what we do, we actually offer the service because we're actually trained in the area. We tell them what's out there and how they can get some help, and we've also got some guidelines that we can put in place so they can, as I said, create that positive workplace.
How long do the seminars run for?
They'd be about half an hour, and then we'd allow sort of 15 to 20 minutes for question time, and then we also leave a pack at the workplace which has quite a bit of information in it that they can use.
So you'd be targeting any sort of organisation, any sort of business? Doesn't depend on size or anything like that?
We'd rather target the larger businesses at this stage, but really, look, we would do it anywhere. If there's any business knows that this is occurring at their workplace and they'd like a bit more information, we'd be happy to come out and do it. And it's probably aimed at middle management to management level, but then again, we'd also like to roll it out to the whole of the workplace if that's suitable for the workplace. We're very flexible.
And I believe you've got a couple of councils on board to run those?
Yeah, we've been working closely with Melbourne City Council and Port Phillip Council in relation to this, and hopefully they're going to assist us a little bit. And our other partner is the Salvation Army and their Family Violence Outreach Program.
How can people find out a little bit more about the seminars? If somebody wanted to run one in their workplace, what can they do?
What they'd actually have to do is contact either me, and it's Diane Ashwell, Diane with a double N, .ashwell@police.vic.gov.au, or they can call me 9247 3722.
And we'll put those details up on our blog site, so if people get across to joy.org.au, you'll find there's a button at the top that mentions blogs, and if you click on there, you'll scroll down, find the Vic Police Glow Show, and then I'll put the details on our blog site for people to be able to contact Di that way.
Made in Melbourne, for the world, Joy 94.9.
Paul Anthony with you on the Victoria Police Glow Show with Sergeant Scott Davis, and our special guest is Sergeant Di Ashwell. Scotty.
We were talking with Di about some seminars that she's running with the Salvation Army. Can you just give us a bit of a recap of those seminars, Di?
Yes, I will stress that they are free seminars.
So that is important.
Yes, I'm working with Salvation Army, and they're aimed at businesses, and it's about the impact of family violence on the business. So it's not about family violence or bullying occurring at the business. It's about the impact of family violence, including the loss of productivity, the high staff turnover, the absenteeism, etc.
And what the businesses can do to support and reduce some of that cost to their business, of family violence that's going on.
That's exactly right.
You're offering these to any sort of organisation?
We are targeting the larger organisations, but as I said, we are very flexible in what we're doing here, and any small organisations, if they know there is an issue or if they just want some understanding of the issue, we'll certainly go out.
Do people have to come to you or do you go to them?
No, we'll definitely go out to them. That's not a problem at all.
Whereabouts?
We'll do this anywhere. Well, probably not Mildura, but certainly within the metro area.
So if there's anyone out there who's running a business who would like to get Di and the people from the Salvation Army in, they can go to our blog site, and you go there from the Joy website, joy.org.au, and click on the blogs and then find the Vic Police Glow blog, and there'll be some links there to be able to contact Di and be able to find out how to get involved in one of these seminars or get a seminar run at your organisation.
We know that family violence impacts on same-sex relationships, but what are the police doing in regards to same-sex relationship violence?
I actually work very closely with the GLOW, and that's Gabby, who comes on this station quite often, the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer, and she in turn works with a lot of same-sex organisations, and it's really about trying to build those relationships and build those partnerships and getting them to start trusting the police. And we have a job to do, and we will certainly do our job.
Have you found a change over time, that the relationship is increasing?
I can tell you,
we had a student do some research for us last year, a criminology student, who came in and looked at the reporting of same-sex relationship violence to Victoria Police, and we've seen a 390% increase in the reporting of same-sex partner abuse to police from 2001 through to 2008. So that sort of suggests to me that police are starting to get things right for the gay and lesbian community and responding really well.
You've got those stats because people have reported.
Correct.
But there's like so much underreporting going on, it's not funny. What can be done, do you think, to encourage people to report same-sex violence?
I think our gay and lesbian liaison officers are one of those mechanisms that can change the way that people feel about Victoria Police. So if somebody is in a relationship and they're suffering from some violence, and that violence can be from really low-level, just verbal stuff, up to the really high, serious assaults where injury occurs, I can speak to a gay and lesbian liaison officer and discuss some of their options about reporting to police. And if they don't want to report to police, then at least those gay and lesbian liaison officers will be able to refer them across to other organisations, the ones that Di was talking about earlier, agencies that work with victims of family violence, to be able to help people who are suffering from family violence. So those are some of the options. The other things that we can sort of think about is training that's been done for police, and Di might be able to talk about this a little bit more, but for some time now, we've been working quite heavily around the training of police around family violence. I did a presentation last week to Di and a number of other family violence advisors across the state, and I was really impressed at how well they understand family violence, but also same-sex relationship violence.
That's definitely true, Scott. And we actually, Gabby and I do quite a bit of training out at stations at the local level. So when they have their training days, that's what they're called, we'll go out there and we'll actually train the members at the local level and let them know that our services are out there to help them and just to really encourage them to make sure they take the reports, take everything serious, investigate everything that they should be doing. We also do training at the Academy for Recruits, which also assists. And there was a huge change with the family violence, as I said, in 2008 when the new Act came in. So all members across Victoria were trained.
So there's a lot of work being done to make sure that police are responding, and I think we are. There is this really strong expectation from our command that the police get it right in regards to family violence.
Yeah, I think we're getting there, and I think everyone's getting involved. And with people like Gabby always pushing that message, I think that really helps.
If you want to get in touch with a gay and lesbian liaison officer, the best way to do that is to get across to the police website, police.vic.gov.au, and there's a little search function up the top there, and you can just type in any of the words gay, lesbian, transgender, anything like that, and you'll be able to find a contact list for our gay and lesbian liaison officers across the state.
Ty, before I let you go, anything we may have missed?
No, I think we wrapped it up, but it'd be really great if some businesses could get onto us, and we'll certainly be happy to go out and do those presentations for you.
Best way to find Di's details is to go across to the Vic Police Glow Show blog from the Joy website.
Sergeant Di Ashwell, Family Violence Advisor, thank you so much for joining us on the Vic Police Glow Show.
Thank you very much for having me again.
Scotty Davis, Paul Anthony, about to exit the building. Scotty?
Gabby Tyack, even though she's not here, her face is all over the Police Life magazine this
what
month.
What has she done?
Oh, this month.
Okay.
What do you mean, what has she
I
done?
I thought maybe she'd done something wrong. But no, this is a good thing.
So the Police Life magazine comes out every month, and you can download a PDF copy from the police website, police.vic.gov.au. And on page 5, you'll find this lovely picture of a smiling Gabby Tyack. And everyone at work has commented about how photogenic she is.
Oh, okay.
What are your thoughts there, Paul?
Oh, well, she is a lovely lady.
She is a lovely lady.
Yes.
And you can see there in the background, she's got the Glow badge and everything. And it's a story about what her role is as a gay and lesbian liaison officer.
Now, has she mentioned my name in there anywhere?
No.
Okay, then why are we even looking at
it? But she didn't even mention my name.
Oh, well, that's okay.
It's all about Gabby. She does mention Joy.
Oh, good.
Yeah, down there in that the bottom of the first paragraph.
She does. Look at that.
Yes. Working with Joy and Crime Stoppers in the Anti-Violence Project. Get across to police.vic.gov.au. It's on the front page there. The Police Life magazine can be downloaded.
So when do I get to go in that Police Life magazine?
We tried to get you in, but they wouldn't let
they
us.
Wouldn't.
No.
Hair so, too long?
Yeah. I didn't really want to say that on air, Paul, but you forced me to do it.
Oh, that's okay.
Yes. Now, I believe you have some news on the Facebook stakes.
I do. So, apparently, you're in front with Facebook. By how many? I'm not sure.
I think it was six.
Six.
Yes.
Now, the idea is, get across to Facebook, and you can type in Gabby Tyack or Scott Davis, and they have a little pink triangle coming up. See, they want to make sure that they're worthy of the community, but they also a bit competitive.
Well, I don't know that I am, but yes.
You are, so you're talking about it now.
Well, I think, yeah, we're filling in time. No. I think you sort of bring it up each week. Neither Gabby or I do.
Look,
you're creating this competition.
Yes, by all means, you can add me, Paul Anthony. That's good. I'm standing there with, I've just changed my photo again. Actually, I'm wearing similar clothes to what I'm wearing now. There you go.
Now, next week, we've got the wonderful Greg Atkins from the Anti-Violence Project in.
We do.
And he'll be talking all about the StopHomophobiaToday.com website, which is about to be launched for International Day Against Homophobia.
Now, Scotty, International Gay Against Homophobia, May 17th.
May 17th,
taking
Monday.
Over the conch show. Have we got an update of what's going on, or is it all keeping hush-hush?
I think we need to speak to Greg next week.
Hush-hush.
And he'll tell us about it.
Sounds all very exciting,
It'll
Scotty.
Be a lot of fun.
Now, Scotty, the blog?
Best place to get to the blog is to head across to joy.org.au, and all the contact details for Di and her seminars will be on there.
All right.
Well, thanks, Paul.
Scotty Davis, until next week. We'll see you then.
And remember,
if you see something,
say something.
Wherever we live, work and play, safety affects all parts of our lives.
Community safety is everyone's responsibility, and there are things we can do to make our homes, workplaces, streets, neighbourhoods and communities safer.
Victoria Police Glows, Crime Stoppers, the Anti-Violence Project and Joy 94.9 working together to help make our community safe.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.